This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, reinventing Metro. What's ahead for Cincinnati's bus system? First up, whether you call it public legal education, legal awareness, or civics education, the goal is to help people gain a better understanding of the law and our country's justice system. The Federal Bar Association created its National Civics Outreach Program to help educate students about our court systems, with judges and attorneys visiting classrooms and students visiting courthouses. Joining us to discuss civics education is Federal Bar Association National President Kip Bolin. Kip, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us, Mark.
United States Magistrate Judge for the Southern District of Ohio and past Federal Bar Association President, the Honorable Michael Newman. Judge Newman, good to see you today.
Thank you, Mark. It's a great honor to be here.
Randy Sentman, who's a social studies teacher at Tippecanoe High School in Tipp City, Ohio. Randy, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
And law clerk Mike Reinhardt. Mike, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
We won't be able to take any calls during this part of the show, but you can still join us by email with your questions. Send those to talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Kip, tell us why it was important for the Federal Bar Association to be involved in civics education. What's the need for a program like this?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you. Yes, it became clear to us that this was needed. And when I say us, I have to say mostly Judge Newman, who's on the program with us today. He's my predecessor. He's the immediate past president of the Federal Bar Association. He worked with the Administrative Office of the United States Courts, which runs the United States court system administratively, to develop this program nationally that you're going to hear more about here in a minute. It comes from, if I may be so bold as to explain the rationale that I totally bought into, it comes from a couple of things. One, an observation that in our society, not just students, but also adults, members of our voting class, of our voters in America, they don't have full knowledge of the third branch of government, the federal judiciary. They don't understand judicial independence as much as we'd like them to, and it became clear that some education needed to occur. And the other part of this, from perhaps a grand perspective, is we see it within the Federal Bar Association, we see it as a part of a lawyer's role in a democracy to make sure that our fellow citizens, I mean, we lawyers, we're the ones who have been formally trained, educated on this system more than anybody else. It's part of our duty. It's part of the oath we take when we become members of the bar to help our fellow citizens understand the third branch of government. So putting that together, I mean, this was right in our sweet spot. This was something where we saw an opening, a hole that needed to be filled, and thankfully we had someone like Judge Newman to help fill it.
And Judge Newman, how well-versed are people when it comes to the legal system and the law in this country?
Well, it's great to be on the show this afternoon, Mark, and thanks for those very kind words, Kips. Kip, it means a lot to me. I certainly appreciate it. Shockingly, Mark, research from the University of Pennsylvania, the Annenberg Center, shows that only about 26% of adults in America understand that there are three branches of government.
So roughly one out of four people?
Right, right. Okay. What those three branches are and how the three branches operate and how the different branches work. We thought it was just following up on Kip's comment that it was really incumbent upon the FBA, once given the opportunity by the AO in Washington, to take this opportunity and to reach out to young people and hopefully educate the next generation of young people who hopefully will be lawyers and perhaps judges one day, teach them about the third branch of government, how it works, the importance of fairness and justice and due process and following the law. And I think the effort's been incredibly successful. We were on the show a year ago, and at that time, the program was just in its infancy. Last year in the Southern District of Ohio, that's Cincinnati, Columbus, and Dayton, we had more than 1,100 young people in middle school, high school, and some elementary school students meet with the federal judge. Sometimes the judges would go to the schools, and sometimes the students would come to a courtroom. And in the case where they came to my courtroom, they spent half a day. And they met U.S. attorneys and federal public defenders, probation officers, pretrial officers, but really they met judges. And lots of judges were so excited to participate in this program and to talk to young people about the importance of the third branch, how it works, how you decide cases, how you're fair, how important it is to follow the law, how civil and criminal cases are resolved. And this effort's ongoing in Ohio, but it's also ongoing throughout the United States.
Randy, let's get the teacher's perspective on this. How important is this type of education to students today?
Well, thank you. It's a great question. The students that I deal with, they look at the court system as memorization of court cases, and they look at it as something that is outside what they doesn't have a day-in, day-out impact on their life. Most of my students, if they have an interaction with the court, it's some kind of traffic court, and they look at it and say, you know, I'm being treated unfair or something like this. And the best part about, at least from my perspective, the best part about this was that they got to humanize what happens. They got to actually meet Judge Newman last year, who did a fantastic job when he came into my class last year and spoke to all the seniors at Tippecanoe High School. And he answered their questions, and it was great that one-on-one relationship that they developed, that I'd get them to ask more questions throughout the week that some of them I passed on because I didn't know the answers. Unfortunately, and Judge Newman was kind enough to reply back, and it was almost like an ongoing dialogue between students and Judge Newman throughout the rest of our year last year. So I think it's very important because they need to get an understanding of how it works, and it also helps students who may have had an interest in the career field. We kind of push math and science at the high school levels, and this was a nice different pace for the students who wanted to go down this career path to kind of feel like they were a center of attention. So it's very important to me.
Randy, how do you think schools in general are doing at teaching this kind of thing about raising legal awareness among students?
I think schools are trying to, especially in the areas of like social media, are trying to catch up, are trying to educate students, but students are going to unfortunately be students and make decisions on their own. But we need to make sure that they understand that there are ramifications that can follow them if they make what we consider the wrong decisions and what the court system is and how it works and how it operates. It's before they... One of my favorite comments that Judge Newman made last year was we wanted to educate them before they go to court until in the idea that they are not a defendant or in the court themselves, that they have an understanding before they are a participant in the court system.
Mike, what goes into setting these up with the teachers? I mean, how much work is involved and how many schools do you have interested in this?
Yeah, thanks. So last year we set out in the Dayton seat of court. There are 8 counties that are served by that seat of court, and generally just sent out a letter to the superintendents and the principals saying that this opportunity was available for students to come either into the courtroom or the court would be willing to come to the classrooms and talk. We had 16 schools overall that actually came to visit, or we went to visit the schools. There were others that were interested, but perhaps have held off to this year to try to get into the courthouse or have us come out to them. It's really just a matter of responding to me. I'm able to set up a time with one of the judges, making sure somebody's available to meet with the students. Of course, the courthouse is always open. Anybody can come in. It's just making sure that the judges have time available to really take a moment and speak with the students and talk about what happens daily in the courthouse.
So these are groups of about, 30 students or so usually that come through?
Well, I would say on average it's groups of about 30. We've had groups as small as maybe 10 up to 100 that have come into the courthouse. Some of the courtrooms can accommodate larger numbers. Our courtroom, we generally get about 50 that come into our courtroom. When we've gone to school, we've spoken to larger groups. I know when we went to Tippecanoe and visited with Randy's classes, I'm not sure how many students overall we met with, but it was throughout a portion of the day and met with a number of the students there. And we've gone in some schools in the Dayton area and spoken to an assembly of students and asked, they're very interested in how do you become a judge? How do you become a lawyer? How long does it take to become a lawyer? Questions like that. Students are interested in how much of an investment in time it's going to take before they can get out into the world and actually start practicing law, if that's something they'd be interested in.
So a big part of this, Judge Newman, is finding that next generation of lawyers.
Exactly right, yeah. Mark. That's the hope. That's the goal. So there's multiple goals here. One goal is to teach about the importance of fairness, justice, due process, teach how the court system works. But I think the secondary goal, maybe the third goal, is to really educate that next group that's going to follow all of us. Hopefully they'll go to law school. Hopefully they'll have an interest in law as a profession. Some, I hope, will become judges. And that's the goal. And as we mentioned a few moments ago, last year in Dayton, just the Dayton seat of court alone, 1,100 young people met with the judge. Same is happening this year. The number is expanding, and a similar effort's ongoing in Cincinnati. The numbers are in Cincinnati are large as well. So it's very exciting, and it's very fulfilling, quite frankly, as a judge to be able to be part of this process. I think it's collectively our way and the Federal Bar Association's way of giving back, quite frankly.
Are you surprised by the amount of growth that you've seen in this first year,
well,
Judge
yes,
Newman?
Yes and no. When you see the spark in young people's eyes, it doesn't surprise you that the program has grown so exponentially and so quickly. The minute we went into schools, and Kip and I did this last year together down in Charleston, South Carolina. We've really gone all over the country, but the focus and our efforts really been here in Ohio. When Kip and I were together in Charleston last year, you know, you see young people and they get excited the minute you talk about how the courts work. I don't think they know. And the minute we saw we were connecting in that way, I think we knew it was going to be very successful.
Kip, what are...
Yeah, and if you don't mind, if I could play off of that.
Sure, go right ahead.
When we did speak to the students in Charleston, we went to two different schools. We met with kids in the honors program separately. We met with kids in the regular program as well. And it seemed, A, that their knowledge of the third branch was about the same. I don't think the judiciary gets as much attention in the government classes, generally speaking. And I understand perhaps it's not seen as necessarily quite as interesting as the drama involved in making laws and so on. But first of all, they didn't have that knowledge. But then secondly, as Judge Newman indicates, they lit up when we started talking about the concept that if the police want a search warrant, the FBI wants a search warrant, they have to first go to someone, either Magistrate Judge Newman, who's on the call in the program here today, or one of his colleagues, to show that there's probable cause to execute that search warrant first. They got to learn firsthand how the constitutional rights are protected by the judiciary in that process. And then they lit up and they had 1,000 questions. And lighting up, for me, also was personally gratifying because, as Randy was saying, there's a lot of focus on science and math in schools these days, and that is probably to our benefit. I have two teenagers. They are reasonably talented in those areas, but their futures lie not in science and math, but in other areas. And I saw in those students' eyes, in Charleston and in other classrooms, I saw some kids light up in a way that I would have seen my own children light up. And that was very rewarding for me.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us with your questions by emailing talk@wvxu.org. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss civics education is Federal Bar Association National President Kip Boland, United States Magistrate Judge for the Southern District of Ohio and past Federal Bar Association President, the Honorable Michael Newman, and Randy Sentman, who's a social studies teacher at Tippecanoe High School in Tipp City, Ohio, also law clerk Mike Reinhardt. You can join us with your questions by emailing us talk@wvxu.org or finding us on Facebook or Twitter. Randy, I've heard the expression lighting up used numerous times in this conversation. Does this really light something with these students? Do you really see this getting them interested in the law and maybe even pursuing a career in the law after this?
Well, that's a great question. I would say absolutely. Students I had last year and how they did it when they came to Tippecanoe High School is that Judge Newman was kind enough to stay here all through our day, and each class got to come in individually. And it was in a small group, and it was like a one-on-one discussion. And the students who would come back after that, they would ask questions. They're very good at the social studies, the histories, the governments, things like that. But then I get a lot of questions before this was, well, what do I do with it? And this gave them an opportunity of, you know, maybe they had an interest in some parts of the law, But they think of looking at being a lawyer, and it would kind of scare them. But then they said, you know, there was this part or this aspect that they were thinking about, and it would light them. It would light them up is a great way to say it. I had several students who came to me at the end of the year and would say, you know, I was kind of teetering between a major and something, but because of this program, I'm going pre-law. And I want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to see this. It was such a great thing for them last year that this year I am taking some of my students down to actually see the courthouse, the court in action. And they are excited. Or as I explained to them what we would be doing, they're already excited about wanting to see that because I think the court is very intimidating to the average person. One of the student questions I always ask my students is, would you want to go into a court of law and argue against a lawyer? And almost to a person, they're like, no, I'm afraid of that. And the idea that they see this and then they kind of get a little confidence and say, okay, this isn't what I see on television. And they kind of get a little more confidence and, okay, this is something I may want to do. And right after Judge Newman was there last year, we were doing court cases and talking about it. And there was a lot of conversation of back, remember when they said this and the students would remember that. And they were very passionate afterwards. I would absolutely agree.
So, Mark, one thing I'll tell you, and that's, Randy, thanks for those very gracious words. But, one thing I'll tell you is we've made this offer to a number of students that the court is an open door. In fact, the courts nationally have an open door to the federal courthouse policy. We celebrate it in particular in the month of May. But we've reached out to students and said, if you like what you've seen in your classroom, come and shadow me for part of a day or all of a day. A number of students have taken us up on that, and I've said to students, you know, when you have your summer job, if you have a free day, just give us a day's notice and please come and shadow us for the day. I never had that opportunity, quite frankly, when I was a younger person. And to me, I think giving young people that opportunity, actually inviting them to come down and watch proceedings, and if I have time, I'll meet them for coffee and certainly explain everything that went on in court. I think that's an eye-opener for young people. And I think as a judge, it's a nice opportunity to educate the next generation, but it's also an obligation to explain how the process works. And I think young people, the ones that have taken us up on that offer, are very grateful.
Well, and Anne's email question fits in nicely here, I think. She emailed and she said she's wondering about the number of women and minorities who are working in the court system, encouraging them to look at careers in law.
Well, we take that very, very seriously, Anne. When I was president of the Federal Bar Association, I started a special committee on diversity. So both in the Federal Bar Association and in the courts, the federal courts, the concept of inclusion, diversity, very, very important. And I know that many, many young people don't think they have an opportunity to go to college, go to law school. And I see my mission in life as telling them, no, you have every opportunity you can think of, and we will help you. So there's a Law and Leadership Institute. There's a SWELL program. These are our programs where we take minority students and expose them to the court system. And I know our judges in Cincinnati and Dayton and Columbus take that very, very seriously. I'm on the board of LLI, just in the interest of full disclosure, and I think it's just very, very important to open doors for, in particular, for minority students and women, and to make them be included and understand they have a very important place in the legal system.
Kip, tell us about some of the other aspects of the program. I mean, you have various different things. I think there's a civics essay that's part of this.
Yes. We started this last year as well. We have a civics essay contest that we run for nationwide for high school students, and there's a cash prize, which usually gets to people's attention. And as a matter of fact, I have to tell you, it's not just an essay contest. We've opened it up to make it a video contest as well, so you could submit an essay or a video. So if your listeners today have a high school student who is either interested in government, the law, or our Constitution, has a good writing ability, or is a future filmmaker, we'd encourage them to go to our website, which is www.fedbar.org/outreach, and look at the qualifications for the essay contest and video contest. It's a remarkable thing. Like I said, there's a cash prize. The winner will be flown to Washington, D.C., where they'll have an opportunity to meet our national leadership and also a undisclosed celebrity who works in a building across the street from the United States Congress. It's a tremendous opportunity. I know last year's winners were, first of all, the essays were astounding. And the quality was every bit what you would hope for, though perhaps you wouldn't have the courage to hope for. Very powerful. This year, the contest topic has to do with the 14th Amendment and what equal protection means to students. So it's a pretty open-ended question. It's something that we're doing. It's a contest that we're doing in combination with the Federal Judges Association. And so it's going to be, the winner is going to have a very high-profile award, and one that, you know, frankly, I got to tell you the best part of this, and get a little off to the side here, but the best part of this is reading the submissions. As much as we've talked so far about the need for greater education of the third branch and the federal judiciary and the concepts of judicial independence, seeing these young students, these young minds who have done some investigation and some deep thinking and put together thoughtful pieces on the importance of these concepts to our society, to themselves, to their fellow students, that is truly rewarding. And again, if your listeners know someone who is in a position to submit an essay or a video in response to this contest, we'd very much like to see it.
51, excuse me, if you have any other questions you'd like to ask, you can email those to talk@wvxu.org. How does this benefit go beyond? You know, obviously, you see how this helps students. I'm just wondering how, what's the overall benefit to the community of a program like this?
Oh, I think the benefit is huge. And I'll tick off a couple. And Kip and Randy and Michael, if you want to
join in.
And supplement, please feel free to do so. I think, among other things, you have people who understand how the third branch of government works, who understand the concept of how the legal system operates and the importance of following the law, who've actually come in and seen a court proceeding and realize that it's some ways very, very different from what you see on television, who have an understanding the increases the importance of citizenship. I think it makes an informed electorate, quite frankly. And judges are trained to be more reactive and not to be out there grandstanding and talking about themselves. This is a way, an acceptable way, for them to let the public know how the process works. Michael, you want to chime in? What do you think some of the benefits are?
Well, I think we're just educating young people about the mystery of the federal court, that this is a place where you generally don't have access on television. You might read outcomes in the newspaper. And it's really just teaching the young students about the things that go on between what you read, that there's always something going on. Attorneys, lawyers, judges are all working on cases in the background. It's just not something somebody goes into a courtroom and makes an argument. It's really it's a large process. It's a very involved process, and it's just really giving taking off the shroud of the mystery of what goes on in those big dark buildings where federal judges sit behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Kip and Randy, any comments?
The American justice system. Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Randy.
The two big things I see as a benefit for societies in general is that we always hear all the time that people don't want to be a part of juries because the court is very, you know, scary and things like that. And when students ask me all the time, and I think society, this kind of shows the court is not as this big, scary, hard to understand thing if they understand it a little better. The other thing I see great from this is that it makes them good critical thinkers. They can sit around and say it's good being a lawyer and being in court is be able to make a very good argument and be able to back it up. And I think a lot of times society does not use the right sources, and they just say what they hear, and they don't take a chance to think about it. And I think one of the things I've seen is the critical thinking skills of people sitting back and the benefit from that being, you know, thinking their way through things if they see how the court works instead of going on emotion. There's some logic here. And I think that helps society as well.
Yeah, the those are great points, Ray. And, you know, the American justice system is the gold standard in the world, and we take it for granted. You don't think about it a lot unless you're intimately involved in it. And if something's working, you don't pay attention to it. Our justice system is working. It's working very well. You hear about the anomalies. You hear about some times when it doesn't more often than you do the times when it's working well. And that's the overwhelming majority of the time. Building on Randy's comment about the jury service, it's become a thing where people talk about avoiding jury service because they don't want to take time away from their job, typically. And, you know, that's understandable. On the other hand, and I think Judge Newman will back me up, everybody I've ever talked to who actually sat on a jury said it was a rewarding experience. It gave them great insight into how our system works, and they trust the system much more after being exposed to it than before. And that's part of what we're doing with this program. We're making people more aware of how the system works. The more they learn about it, the more they like it, the more they trust it, and the sounder our democracy.
So I'll just quickly follow up on those great comments, Mark. One of the things we impress upon young people is this is the gold standard. We have the best justice system, civil and criminal, in the world. And I don't think that that point is made sometimes to young people. And I say to them, you should have a pride in the fact that this is the gold standard. And people come, and this is true, people come every day to D.C. to meet with folks at the AO and to watch federal courts to figure out how we do what we do to go back to their countries and with our blessing copy what we do. That's how good the system is. And so I say to young people, you should take great pride in the fact that you're here in America. We have this amazing system. And then I transition and say, but that's only because in the case of juries, it's a community system. We need your service, your civic service as a juror to make it work. And it's not going to work, and it's not going to be the gold standard unless you serve on a jury. And I think after a couple of hours of spending the morning with us, many students have come and said, you know, if I'm ever asked to serve on a jury, I think it's very important I'd be honored to serve.
How much would you like to see this program grow?
I would love to see it grow. It's growing so quickly. We planted a seed. I'm just telling you, it's unbelievable, Mark. It is growing so quickly, exponentially, both here in Ohio and throughout the United States. And Kip, you're the president. Feel free to chime in. But it's remarkable. If you'll invite us back next year, I bet you it'll probably be an increase of multiple times of what it is today. Kip, you want to chime in on that?
Only to say that we reached over 10,000 students in the first year of the program, and as Judge Newman said, we're looking to multiply that. I don't see why we can't. Once we roll out the program and people see, A, how simple it is, and B, what the returns are, they sign up right away.
And I'll just chime in, Mark. A bar association has never undertaken an effort of this size before, and I'm just so proud of the Federal Bar Association.
It's kind of hard
nationally
for attorneys to tout themselves, isn't it? I mean,
yes, it's very much so. And yeah, the fact that we did 10,000 young people in the first year, and judges, federal judges at all levels, at the literally at all levels of the judiciary, have now come to the FBA and said, can I participate? Can I be part of this? I've heard about it. I want to be part.
So, Mike, how do people get involved in this if they're interested?
People should feel free to reach out to me, call the court. I can give my number, 937-512-1640. If you were just to call the court, if you looked online at the Southern District of Ohio's website, if you called anybody in the clerk's office in Dayton, Cincinnati, Columbus, they would know who the person in the court is. It generally helps arrange for courthouse visits or helps arrange getting judges to schools. I know in Dayton, everybody's seen me escorting students all around the courthouse, so they know that they would direct that call to me, and I'd be happy to arrange anything. If it's you want somebody to come to your classes to speak, you want to bring a group of students to the courthouse, or if your teacher or parent or you know a young person who's interested in the practice of the law, the court system, and wants an opportunity to just come into the courthouse, shadow a judge, or see what goes on there one day. I know a lot of schools are doing that more so nowadays, getting students out and job shadowing as part of a curriculum. We're more than happy to host students to see what goes on in our chambers or elsewhere throughout the courthouse in Dayton, Cincinnati. So yes, 937-512-1640.
And we have links to more information about the program on our website, wvxu.org. And thanks to all of you for joining us today.
Mark, it was an honor. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having us, Mark.
Federal Bar Association National President Kip Boland, United States Magistrate Judge for the Southern District of Ohio, and past Federal Bar Association President, the Honorable Michael Newman, Randy Sentman, a social studies teacher at Tippecanoe High School in Tipp City, Ohio, and law clerk Mike Reinhardt.